The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you're going, all right then. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I'm going to use this one again because I moved closer to the studio. I feel in my heart that's a good one. See, that's kind of funny. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Some of our questions are spiritual, and some are just contemplative, and some are just fun. Here's a fun, semi-contemplative question for you. What is your favorite moment of the weekend? Do you like the very beginning? Do you like the middle? Do you like the end? Do you like when everything's done and you're just resting? What do you like? What's your favorite moment in the weekend? That's the question. Hey, it's pretty simple and straightforward. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, well, any of those? Yeah, an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. We don't want it to die of loneliness. We want you to reach out to us. Reach out, and just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with what? No drama.
Oh my. Thank you, David. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Unfortunately, tomorrow you may have a little bit of drama going on as you are doing a chariot exchange.
Yes, I am. Tomorrow I will have a new car.
Well, that part's good. So be praying for Jammin' Jacob. By the way, not only can you call us by the phone, and we do have a caller, we're going to get to them in just a second, but you can also text us. That's right, live. If you're in San Diego, it's 11:35. That's nice. If you're in Denver, it's 12:35. Well, that's nice, too. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:35. Well, that's nice, too. If you're in Detroit, it's 2:35. Well, those are all nice. All you got to do is text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice, as we always do. 214-210-8483. There you go. Additionally, you can send an email, David at hemustincrease.org. That's all one thing, David at hemustincrease.org. org. We do have somebody on the line. I have no idea what's going on. Let's find out. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Good afternoon. This is Sergio.
Hey, Sergio. Long time no talk to. How you doing, bro?
Good, good. Yeah, it's been a while, but I've been consistently listening to you.
Well, that is great, brother. And I just figured you were like thinking he's busy. You're always welcome to call us. So I love it when you call, because you always ask really cool questions. I mean, I know you don't think that, but it just shows me where your mind is at. And I love that because it's pursuing God. And that's a great mind. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, David. And you actually touched a subject that I wanted to tell you, because I was kind of hands off with you because I know how stressful you probably were during the move. I have been listening, and it's kind of my question or comment is kind of segues into one of your experiences of your move. Whenever the water, I think it was the freezer or the water was going all
yes.
over the place.
Yep.
And then
yep.
someone,
yep.
And then I think Noel sees a random stranger and that person basically helps you. Right.
Right. Well, that person actually, I think, gave a command, but that's I'm just going to go with that, but I'll explain that a little deeper, but keep going.
So that was kind of like a blessing, right? I mean, that
yes.
was kind of like a blessing in disguise. That was kind of like, wow, where'd that come from? Right. So my question to you or my comment is, how do you combat the fact that we're supposed to have faith, right? I mean, we're obedient and we should have faith. But what happens whenever the flesh part of us or the earthly part of us says, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this thing's going to go right. You start having doubts in your mind.
Great.
How do you combat that? Because obviously all of us are different. Every one of us is different. And I'll take this a step further on a personal level. Something happened to me at work, and I was so stressed out about it the previous night. And then after it happened, it went really smooth. And then I'm thinking, man, why was I stressing out about it, you know? So that's kind of like my angle or that's my
yeah.
question to you. Like, how do you combat that? How do you do that? I'll take the answer off the air, David, and I'm glad you're settled. I hope everything goes well. Thank you for all you do, and have a great weekend.
All right. God bless you, brother. Excellent question, by the way. So let me get into it. So I love it when these things get set up. I don't plan these things. This is not how it is. You know, it's not like, you know, Sergio calls and goes, hey, you know, I'm going to give you this question. I mean, this is not how that goes. Okay. This is just all what happens. So he's bringing up a point, and I'm glad that he brought it up because I didn't really feel like I conveyed in my heart the way that I wanted to convey what took place. So I'm going to rehash that a little bit, and I'm going to go in. I'm going to answer his question because there's so many people that go through this. And if you're lucky, we'll get a trivia question in or a break in. And if you're not lucky, I'm just going to go all the way through. So just hang on and just bear with us, okay? So there's a couple of things here that are superbly important. First, I want to share that experience. So when I had that experience, I'm disconnecting the water to the refrigerator. I know most people are thinking, oh, come on, Dave, you didn't know what you were doing. Let me at least say this, that Noel and I have moved so many times. I know this so well, it's not funny. I mean, I know it really well. So when I turned it and closed it, it should have been done. And at first, when the water started coming out, I thought, well, that's just what's left over in the hose. I mean, most people understand that. Look, if your toilet is leaking or it's overflowing, there's a valve at the bottom, a little silver valve. You turn it, you shut off the water. It's not complex. We get that, all right? This was different. The way the water was coming out was like it was like its own little fire hose. And it was going everywhere. And when I couldn't get a handle on it, at that moment, I didn't have the framework or the frame of mind to think and say, you know, in Jesus' name. I was so upset in my person, in my flesh, that's why all I did was scream. And I did scream, and you guys have to understand, I have a very loud voice, okay? When I tell you I have a very loud voice, the levels on every radio station, every show I've ever been on have always have to be dropped. If I'm whispering, it's different. But in my normal voice, it's pretty projective. So in this scream, I was like, because I didn't have anything else. Ironically, part of that scream was just like and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but it was kind of like the end of me. I had nothing left. And I was just like, ah! That was it. Okay. What happened was, you know, I mentioned to Noelle the water main. She goes out into the front yard. Okay. It's dark out. So I think that's important for me to understand. It's, you know, completely dark. It's 8:45 at night. And she pops out there. And what takes place is there's the person that's right there as she walks out the front door, right at the curb where she walks out. And as she walks out, and that person is there walking a dog who she can't see the person's face, but she hears and can tell it's a guy. That's all she got out of that. And she's like, can you help us? Our you know, water's going out. Do you know where the water main is or whatever? And he's like, yep, I know what to do. Like, he knows what to do. And as they're walking towards it, he says, all you have to do is turn it now. And what happened was, and I didn't explain this very well, so I'm turning it back and forth, burning it back and forth. It was when that being or that person, and let's say it's an angel from my perspective, maybe not from yours, that's cool, but I'm going to stand with it. When he said that, within a minute and a half of that being said, I turned it another time. Within a second of him saying that, I turned it another time. Didn't know that he was saying that at the time. After he said that, a minute and a half later, I come out, or 2 minutes later, I come out, and it had stopped, and I tell Noelle, it's done. I think my perspective, just so you can hear it, is that angel was helping in the scenario, which I was kind of past myself in, and he was almost just saying, you know, water be closed. I mean, I know that's crazy, but that's kind of how I took it, because it should have closed 10 other times. I was going back and forth and back and forth. I mean, there's only so many ways. It either goes up or it goes down. It either goes open or it closes. One of the two. So when that happened and it took place, I didn't consider that the Lord was helping me. All I did was cry at the end of myself, all I could, cry out. That crying out, I believe God answered in his mercy, which is what he does, kind of like, and I'm not making a comparison, so don't do that, but kind of like when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me! I think my was that. Okay? I just had nothing else to say. And I think the Lord saved me. And he was so close that he saved me, sent an angel, knew what was going to happen, obviously. So what Sergio's asking is a fascinating question. One of the reasons that I wrote the book, and I'm not plugging the book, I'm telling you why I wrote it, because it reinforced faith for me. There are many times where we start off in faith and we're doing really good. And we've got it going on, right? But then something comes up that either we're not ready for, we're not prepared for, we're not thinking about, and it's like a curveball in baseball. It's like, no, that pitch was supposed to come straight over the plate. It curved. What happened? So there's a moment there where you kind of lose it. That's the moment where a couple of things can happen. We can immediately, and we should immediately, come to the Lord and ask for his help. That is obvious. But sometimes in the frustration, we don't always respond that way. Sometimes in our own flesh, what do? We take it on. We think, and tell me if you've ever done this, what is every single thing I can do to resolve this? What is available to me that I can do to resolve this? And then when we get to the point where there is nothing left, listen to what I said. There's nothing left. Then we go, oh, God, you got to help me. Right? Instead of starting off that way, a lot of times we end up that way. There's two things about that. That is not uncommon for Christians, but it is also not the right response. The right response when it's past you immediately and you're looking at it is, Lord, I cannot do this without you. That's the right response. The right response is what? Surrender. The right response is yield. So what is it that can help us not to operate in the flesh and operate in that doubt so we have to sink? What can keep us more afloat? And there's a couple of really good answers. I know this will sound crazy, but here is an unbelievably brilliant answer that comes from the Lord himself, and that is other Christians, even at the moment, praying with you. When you're going through something and you're losing it and don't tell me you haven't done it, because yes, you have. The smartest thing you can do, the wisest thing with praying, is asking other believers to pray with you, to join with you, to help you carry the burden. Because what we do is we think, we got to handle this. How am I going to handle this? Instead of going, you know what? I need help. And reaching out to a brother, a sister, a sibling, a wife, a husband, whatever, to get the help. Because what we try to do is carry our burdens by ourselves. Carry our own cares by ourselves. So what Sergio asked, though, goes into that next level. And I want to bring this up. Sometimes we have something happen and we don't have all the results yet, and we seethe in it. We just like, this can happen, this can happen. That's when you go through every possible outcome, right? And you try and figure all of it out, and you try and nail everything down. And instead of looking at it with faith, you're looking at it from how you can solve it. Remember the passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Would you hear that? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. There are times where it is past our knowledge, past our understanding in the moment. Not that it always will be, but it is in the moment. And you know what we got to do? We got to stop. Listen to what I'm going to say. This is going to be so hard for us Americans, us do, we can do anything people, right? We got to surrender. We got to go, Lord, you have to do this. One of the things I'm going to be teaching in the next couple of weeks is about Jehoshaphat, which is one of my favorite teachings. And he tells the Lord, look, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. I can look nowhere else. I have nowhere else to look. And what we'll do is we'll try to solve it instead of surrender it. So instead of solving it, surrender it. The Lord always is there. He's always, look at, if he's counting the hairs on your head, he knows every little nuance of everything you're going through. And while you're going through it and taking on the stress, the Lord's there saying, cast your care unto me, because I care for you. Take that pile of garbage in that garbage bag that you're holding on your back and drop it off in my hand. And I will carry you. But you know, I've got to do everything that I can do to resolve this. I've got to come up with a solution. In some capacity, I have to figure out what I'm doing. What am I doing that I can add to? How can I resolve this? You know who did something like that? I'll just tell you this real quickly because you'll appreciate it. It was Abraham, because he listened to his wife. And she said, we're going to solve God's problem for him. Here, have another kid through this girl. That's great. And that whole thing turned out to be a disaster. Sometimes you have to literally wait. You have to wait on the Lord. You have to just, okay, I'm going to put this in your hands. Not mine, but thy will be done. But Dave, this was an urgent situation. I don't know. I thought Jesus prayed that when he was facing death. Is that urgent? Isn't that urgent? He was facing death. They were getting ready to crucify him. Isn't that an urgent thing? Guess what? He surrendered it to the Father. Guess what? When we try to control it, run it, direct it, when we try to make it happen, that's where the flesh is coming in. And sometimes you need the help from other people to remind you and pray for you. Like, oh, pray for me. I'm losing my mind in this, blah, 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 blah. All right. And then they pray. And then there's this peace that comes that passes all understanding, because their faith is not as warped as your faith at the moment. The key is that we allow doubt to eradicate the faith that we do have. So I'll just use it as best as I can. This is what the book is about. Faith is like a dollar bill. Doubt is like a debit of a dollar. You offer up your faith, you have a faith of a dollar, but then you also operate in doubt, which is negative a dollar. And you know what you got between your faith and your doubt? Nothing. That's why Jesus said, if you have a mustard seed, if you have just a little bit of faith, it's got to be a pure, real, very sincere faith without the doubt polluting it. And what we do is we operate in our strength, our power, our wisdom, our insight, our understanding, and it doesn't work. And then we can't figure out why we're stressed. It's because we're trying to control it. We've not let it go. You know, the hardest thing to do is let it go. Let it go. All right, Lord, you take care of it. I'll just let it go. Isn't that hard sometimes? Okay, I'm going to let it go. Oh, Jacob's got to get a new car. Oh, I'm stressing out. Oh, I can do that. Or, you know what? The Lord will help me. I'll just get there. Oh, I got to get a new computer. What do I do? Let's go to Best Buy. Let's go to Amazon. Let's go here. Let's go here. Wait. Oh, wait. You know what? The Lord can help me. Lord, please help me with this. And what we do is, I don't want to say this in a mean way. I know this is me just going off on a tear, but just listen. We freak out. Let's be honest. We're like, blah, blah. Right? Guess what that does? Nothing. It doesn't do anything. But when we enlist the help of others, which for me, I enlist the help of Noelle because she's right there, right? Or when you rely on the Lord, or when you stop trying to control it, let me tell you what control does. I just have to share this, and then I'm not going to promise anything. So No promises. All right. I was in Little League. I've told you this story before. I was in Little League. Our team was the championship team. We were absolutely slaughtering the final team for our city championship. And they didn't even have a mercy rule, so that wasn't happening. I played first base and catcher. Whenever I wanted to, I could play catcher. I did very, very well in the league. I was one of the number one hitters, number one in positions. I had two errors the whole year. I mean, just phenomenal, right? So I could see that our pitcher was whiffing everybody, whiffing, whiffing, whiffing. So instead of first base in the very last inning, I said, hey, I'd like to switch to catcher to the coach. And the coach said, why? And I said, I just want to switch to catcher. And the reason was because I was trying to control it because I knew all these people were whiffing, 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 and most likely – that last out would be a strikeout, then I'd have the ball, we'd win the city championship, and I'd jump up and down, and everybody have to jump it around me. Okay? I get to be in that position, first two batters, whiff, 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 third batter, I'm just waiting for it, right? Two strikes, I'm not even kidding you, not a joking, look it up. It was our team, we're the Yankees in Southfield, Michigan. I'm not kidding at all. Last batter, two strikes, you know what he does? He hits a soft ground ball to first base where I should have been. And the first baseman who took my place picked up the ball, stepped on the bag, jumped up, and everyone went and jumped around him. And you want to know why that happened? Because I tried to control it. I should have known then. I should have been, maybe that's a message from on high, but I am not that bright, right? Listen. Stop trying to control it. Stop trying to run it. Stop trying to be in charge. Stop trying to, I'm going to, if it's past you, stop focusing on it and focus on the Lord. If he makes a promise to carry something for you, does he make that promise just like half-heartedly? Oh, I'll kind of carry it for you. Or when he says, cast your care unto me because I care for you, does he mean it? Are you a Bible believer or just a Bible reader? Are you a believer or a reader? If the Lord says, cast your care unto me, I will care for you, I will take care of it, do you believe that God will do that? We bring our own stress into it. We operate in doubt for some reason, thinking that God has done it 1,001 times, but maybe not 1,002. Now, how dumb, I'm telling you, I am dumb that way. I'm not berating myself. It's like I'm a typical follower of Jesus Christ. The disciples did the same thing. After he resurrected, they're like, I don't know. It's like the same thing. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just like them, right? Here's what I want you to get. Your faith can take you to places that you don't have to live in stress. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live in worry. If you have an active faith in the goodness of God and you're a Bible believer and not just a Bible reader, your faith can launch you past the stress of living the way the world is. You want to know why? Because your king, the king of the universe, is past the world, and you're his kid. Wouldn't you protect your kid? Right? Oh, Dave, how could you sit there and go on a 20-minute rant? Why? Because I live what Sergio talked about. And growing is just doing a little bit better each and every time. Get it? Faith instead of flesh. Believing instead of distrusting. Get it? All right. All right, if you're in San Diego, if you're in Denver, if you're in Detroit, go to HeMustIncrease.org and click on the Listen Live. If you're in Dallas or listen on the app, hang out. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. That's right. You guys think all of our jokes have to be, Christian themed. So, okay, so this is a Christian chicken. There, okay. There you go. That'll help you. These are 9-10 people. The last one is so funny. These are 10 people. Why the chicken crossed the road. Okay, now these are people you know. Some are political, some are not. Nobody's getting picked on. This is just fun stuff. Nancy Grace, why the chicken crossed the road. That chicken crossed the road because he's guilty. You can see it in his eyes and the way he walks. That's Nancy Grace. Pat Buchanan, the chicken crossed the road to steal the job of a decent, hardworking American. Martha Stewart, no one called to warn me which way the chicken was going. I had a standing order at the farmer's market to sell my eggs when the price dropped to a certain level. No little bird gave me any insider information. this is great. Dr. Seuss, did the chicken cross the road? Did he cross it with a toad? Yes, the chicken crossed the road, but why it crossed, I've not been told. Okay, this is just an old grandpa. In my day, we didn't ask why the chicken crossed the road. Somebody told us the chicken crossed the road, and that was good enough for us. Donald Trump, we should build a wall so the chicken can't cross the road. Come on, that's hilarious. Now, if you don't think this one is funny, I'm going to be very concerned about you. Barbara Walters, why did chicken cross the road? Isn't that interesting? In a few moments, we'll be listening to the chicken tell for the first time the heartwarming story of how it experienced a serious case of molting and went to accomplish its lifelong dream of crossing the road. Wow. Aristotle, it's the nature of chickens to cross the road. Bill Gates. Let's skip Bill Gates. Just skip it all together. The last two, and you can't tell me these aren't funny. Albert Einstein, did the chicken really cross the road, or did the road move beneath the chicken? That's relativity. And then finally, Colonel Sanders. Did I miss one?
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.